Sian.
Good morning, Al.
And good morning, recovery people everywhere. And good morning, Hamish.
Hope everyone's well.
It's saying we're in the Brecon Beacons National Park.
Oh. We were supposed to be. But we're not.
No.
We made a little decision just to, because it wasn't that far away, was it? And we just thought the thought of doing yoga in the morning with outside in the rain wasn't very
good. Yeah, to see the final episode of Shogun sealed the deal, and that extra garlic bread in the freezer.
It was lovely. We got home in record time, didn't we? It was lovely to have the break, but it's also lovely to come home. Hope everyone's well. April the 29th from Opening Doors Within. Open yourself to the inflow of my divine love and light. Open up the doors of your heart and allow nothing to stop that flow. Keep those doors wide open so that love and light can flow freely in and through you and the life force is ever in evidence within you. When the doors of your heart are closed, and the flow of love and light ceases, your whole life becomes stagnant and nothing lives in a stagnant pool. That is why you have to consciously keep those doors wide open and draw from me, the source of all life, all the time, so that your heart never at any time becomes dried up and stagnant. A stream that ceases to draw its supply from its source dries up. When you cease to draw your supply from me, you will soon dry up and become useless. So keep consciously aware of me and constantly draw your life force from me. You make your choice day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute.
Is that like you make step three?
Yeah.
Over and over.
And each morning, you know, you make that conscious connection and you decide to get into, you know, doing God's will, using the principles behind each step, pausing when agitated, watching for intuitive thoughts. Just, you know, set your day up, don't you, thinking, right, do I want a day full of ego, me, selfish, in my own head, or do I want to do something constructive and help others have a good day? It's a decision, isn't it?
Yeah.
But when we weren't aware of it, we weren't awake. We didn't know we had a choice. We were in self most of the time, weren't we?
Yeah.
And freedom from the bondage of self is what's on offer. And I was
God's power.
I was very closed off. You know, I know that I'd closed my heart. When the doors of my heart was closed, the flow of love and light ceased, and I became stagnant. You know, I was blocked off. I really felt that, you know, when I'd closed down and there was no love and light in my life at the end.
Yeah, I mean, it says in page 65 of the big book, when we stay close to him and perform his work well, power flows in. You know, that it's kind of what she's saying, isn't it, really? You know, that staying close to God, you know, sort of remaining conscious of that connection.
I think, you know, it's heightened on a walk when you're going up high and you can see all of nature in front of you. You just feel that connection, don't you? It's just like this, you know, there was new life, wasn't there? There was foals, there was lambs, and you just saw nature and work. And it's...
Yeah, when you can sort of see for 50 miles in every direction, you know, you've got a bit of sense of perspective. You know, and you're a bit more, it's easier just to be conscious of, you know, powers greater than yourself that have made that.
Yeah, you see the weather changing, weather coming in, and we're really not in control, are we? But we have to make the most of our lives, and you know, not waste time. For me, I wasted a few years just being in self and self-pity, and now I'm not, and it's, you know, I love having the freedom. I mean, sometimes things come back to us, don't we? And we're in our own head because we're a bit in fear about parents and, you know, all that sort of general thing. But, you know, to try and transcend that lower mind occasionally, you know, to try and get above your fears so that you can just be appreciative of everything that is. And, you know, we've always, you know, thought of those readings, a couple of days ago, optimistic or pessimistic. You know, we can make our choice, can't we? Now that we've had a spiritual awakening, we know there's a different way of living.
I was reading a book, and it had a quote from Einstein at the start of the chapter. You know, and it was something along the lines of, he wanted to understand God's mind. Einstein, he wasn't really interested in the kind of details of, you know, how everything interacted. He wanted to know the kind of plan that God had in mind, you know. And it's like, well, he's one of the cleverest guys who ever lived. And, you know, a scientist, physicist, you know, and, you know, the most famous scientist ever. And that was his thinking, you know, what's God's mind, you know, what, and it's kind of like, well, you know, we've kind of got a list, you know, it's like, you know, we, honest, you know, hope, faith, courage, you know, the principles underlying the steps, you know, integrity, humility, willingness, you know, love, justice, service, persistence, and pursue a spiritual path, and acceptance, and it's kind of like, well, didn't expect that. You know, I just kind of come to a meeting to stop drinking, and then it's like, here you are, you know, this is your path now.
You have to change.
Do God's will, you know, give your life over to God. And it's kind of like, what the fuck? What the fuck are you on about?
I'm just an alky.
You know, I'm mental.
I have to dabble in drugs occasionally.
And most people have that similar reaction, you know, and it's like, they listen to, you know, and I'm like more than 6.5 years into this, and now I'm like kind of, you know, getting it, you know, in the sense that I understand that I'll never know God. I don't need to know what the fuck God is. It doesn't matter, you know. I just have to accept that it's not me. And, you know, I have this, there's this kind of essence of life which is follow these principles, and that's the will of God, whatever God is. I'm like, all right, then I'll just do that. I'm just going to go along with that because, you know, I feel the power.
Makes you feel better.
I feel the power, you know, it's real. You know, I feel stronger when I'm doing that, and when I'm being dishonest and selfish, I feel weak, you know, and it's like, I feel really crap, you know, and it's like, okay, well, I'm going to do what feels good. I'm up for that, you know, that's what I wanted alcohol and drugs for, to feel good. Don't do that anymore, that was just so damaging and fake, and it had this horrible, horrible side effect, you know, of hangovers and depression, come downs, illness, you know, vomiting, diarrhea, you know, bad behaviour, violence.
You're selling it well.
I listened
to this thing last night, and it said about people looking for a natural dopamine that perhaps had used drugs or alcohol.
Mm.
And he showed the sort of, this is your baseline. Say your baseline is at naught. The cocaine was so high, the spike
mm-hmm.
for the dopamine hit.
Mm.
But then the come down was way past the baseline.
Mm.
So you felt shit.
Yeah.
So you took the drugs. Then you had a chemical high.
Mm-hmm.
But then, look.
You have a big deficit.
It was even worse mm-hmm. than when you started.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, take this. You'll get a couple of hours of like extremity,
mm-hmm.
but then the come down will last mm-hmm. for a long, long time.
Yeah, and your baseline is lowered.
Yeah.
So you're more inclined to take more drugs
to get you up again.
And then, you know, you're on that.
I didn't realise it was worse without than alcohol.
Mm.
But I had the same spike with alcohol. That I'd feel pretty shit. Mm. I'd take it, and then after a bender, I'd feel so much worse.
Yeah.
So it didn't work, did
you
it?
You get really? A dopamine spike from cold water.
Cold water.
And that's where I do the cold showers.
And also nature. They're saying you can get that from
being
outdoors.
But it lasts longer.
Yeah. And then your baseline, you don't go. When you've had these natural spikes, you don't go any worse down.
Mm.
It's just your baseline is enhanced then.
Mm.
So all these natural ways of getting the kicks are so much better than just chemicals.
Mm.
And, what's it in alcohol? Ethanol.
Ethanol, yeah. Oof. C2H5OH. Chemical mixed with water, generally, and some other stuff to make it palatable. Yeah, so you can run your car on vodka. You're drinking petrol. To lighten our burden, this is from As Bill Sees It. Two extracts, one from the 12 and 12, one from the Big Book. To lighten our burden. Only one consideration should qualify our desire for a complete disclosure of the damage we have done. That will arise where a full revelation would seriously harm the one to whom we are making amends, or, quite as important, other people. We cannot, for example, unload a detailed account of extramarital adventuring upon the shoulders of our unsuspecting wife or husband. It does not lighten our burden when we recklessly make the crosses of others heavier. It's very wordy, isn't it? In making amends, we should be sensible, tactful, considerate, and humble without being servile or scraping. As God's people, we stand on our feet. We don't crawl before anyone. Step 9.
Mm.
Stand on our feet, we don't crawl before anyone. So basically, the first one's don't do an amend if it's going to do harm, and be humble without being without humiliating yourself.
You're just keeping your side of the street clean. You're not,
it takes a lot of courage, step 9. Yeah. Out of all the steps, I think it's by far the most difficult, and I found step 9 much harder than step 5, because step 5 I'm talking to, it's all in confidence, and it's my sponsor, and I think, well, it's not going to go any further, and it's a bit embarrassing, but I can do it. But facing up to the people that have suffered as a result of your behaviour, as a result of your illness, not so easy.
Without the step 9 process, I would never be where I am today.
Mm.
Because I needed the formal you know, to say, look, as part of my AA program, I need to do this with you.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I wouldn't have had the courage. I used the backing of the program to approach people. And I said, look, if you want me to get better, you know, I really need to do this. You know, it's
To clean my house.
Yeah. And, you know, it's just to make, you know, it's your chance to say how my alcoholism has affected you. Nothing to do with, you know, me looking at your faults, you know, so please can we meet? And it was like step five for me. It was freeing. You know, some of it was painful. You know, my sister was, you know, it was sad because she wasn't ready to accept it at the beginning, but then, you know, she did. And I understand that. I understood that. And, you know, making it with my children was so important for me to establish. Once I'd done that, I could then say, right, let's go back to meeting regularly and, you know, let's try and rebuild this.
Go on with living.
Yeah.
Mm.
And it was necessary. It was absolutely necessary. And, you know, if you're in fear around it, you know, what's worse? You know, to go back to drink?
Definitely worse.
You know, and then you've got to start all the process over again if you've got to step nine. You know, you're almost putting off the inevitable.
Yeah.
So you've really got to, you know, you've got to ask your higher power to say, can I have the courage? Please.
Yeah.
Please be with me and give me the power. Because you're helping others, you're doing service. You know, by letting them get rid of their resentments and giving them the chance to speak. It's only what they deserve. It's totally what they deserve. We owe it to our friends and family to do it. You know, and we'd need to dig deep and just... I had to just almost detach from myself and just say, right, I've got to get through this process. And, you know, and I just gritted my teeth and did it.
Yeah, and we listened to the other party and understand from their point of view what, you know, their experience was, you know, so that it gives them the opportunity to get it off their chest. And, you know, we don't look at their behaviour at all, just ours. And, you know, then at that point, you know, we've got... begin to clear our conscience and have that sense of, you know, self-worth and, you know, I've done my best, I've done the right thing, and it's like, I also don't want to have to do that again. I never want to have to do that
again.
It's a
defence against the first drink.
Huge defence. Because, you know, I'm, you know, first, if you relapse after nine... you're in trouble, you know, because it's kind of like, you know, doing it for the second time, you know, it's the boy who cried wolf syndrome. So, you know, it's important to do it at the right time. You know, if you feel that you're doing it too soon, maybe you should wait. But some people, I think, you know, I mean, Dr. Bob went and made it all his in day one, didn't he? Just went round town.
I couldn't have done that because I said sorry too many times. They wouldn't have believed me. I needed I needed to have, you know, at least 6 months sober before I could even begin to.
And some amends, you know, the living amends, you know, they're ongoing, aren't they? You know, it's actions speak louder than words, you know, but you need to say something.
But I also think, you know, that sometimes, you know, if you have had, you know, a drink and you have to go back and start again, I've often said those people that have done that have a really, really strong recovery because they pick up the pieces that they hadn't done before.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it gives them a bigger insight to what they're not doing and their recovery is really strong.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, don't be fearful if you have had a drink to just say... right, okay, the reason why I picked up that drink was because of that. and, you know, please accept these amends. I've learnt my lesson, and I'm back on back on track.
Yeah.
You know, because now I understand fully my condition, and you know, I know the bits that I'm not doing. So I think we have to be, you know, just keep going,
persistent,
keep dusting yourself up, and just starting. And you know, I had the opportunity to go into AA after treatment, but I didn't take it. You know, but
first time round.
Yeah. So I needed to admit to my innermost self that I was an alcoholic, because without that I couldn't have done the steps, because I still had that I might control it one day. I still had that idea in my head. So by going back out there and having that long relapse, I needed to be absolutely 110% certain that I was an alcoholic. And yes, I absolutely knew I was. Whereas before, I still wasn't sure, even though all the evidence was there. It was ridiculous. But that's the power of the illness, the delusion. The delusion that you be like others has to be smashed. And it was smashed out of me.
Presently, maybe.
Yeah.
Has to be smashed.
And it was. It absolutely smashed me in the face, didn't it?
Yeah, quite a few times.
Yep. So, yeah.
Got there in the end.
There was no... I'd completely surrendered second time. There was no fighting. Just very, very willing to get better. And it, in a way, it was easier, you know, to do the steps, because I was so willing to get out of that madness. So... yeah, don't, if you've had a relapse, a slip, a drink, you know, a fall, just get back up on the horse and ride on into the sunset.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks, Al.
Thanks, Sam.